Welcome to Community Connections, and I'm Alan Collier, and we're here to tell you a bit of what's going on in the neighbourhood. And also for the first hour, we're going to be talking to Saskia from Forever Friends. And the second hour, we've got our private investigator, Peter. He wasn't able to be here last month, so we'll hear about, hopefully, a bit about what he was doing and also what he's been up to in the last few months. And, of course, if you've got anything you'd like to know about a private investigator, you could either ring us on 59 615 991, 59 615 991, or shoot us an email, info@yarravalleyfm.org.au, and we'll put the questions to him. But first of all, it's my pleasure to introduce a lady we've spoken to on a couple of occasions, but I think we've spoken to her for probably over a year, so it was time to have Saskia from Forever Friends in. So welcome, Saskia.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Now, first of all, there are a couple of things that I need to say, and the first one being, because as it is over a year, we've probably got a few new listeners. Well, I know we have got a few new listeners that wouldn't have been listening a year ago. So we just need to tell them that Forever Friends isn't a dating site, because that... Well, it could have that in indication, couldn't it?
I've never thought of it that way. You're quite right.
Well, I mean, you know, there's some, I don't know, but I've heard some names of dating sites. So it is not about that. It's all, and now the friends are, of course, pets. Or, well, no, I won't say pets, because a lot of them aren't pets, and we're going to talk about that. A lot of them, they are animals, and we'll be talking about what's going on. Saskia, has it been busy over the Christmas period for you?
Alan, it's been non-stop, absolutely non-stop. All the volunteers and I have to admit we're pretty worn out.
And you've still got a lot of the year to go yet.
Yeah, that's right.
So, look, Saskia, I think because I know we have got some new listeners, perhaps you could just tell us just briefly what Forever Friends do.
Sure thing. Well, I founded Forever Friends 13 years ago in my living room when I still lived in Hawthorne in a little unit. And Forever Friends rescues, rehabilitates and rehomes animals who are homeless, neglected, abandoned, abused and who have just fallen on hard times. So we focus on dogs and cats in pounds and shelters who are often on death row, to put it absolutely plainly. Yep. And we also rescue and rehome a small number of farm animals from our sanctuary at Gladysdale, which we operate on 100 acres there. And that includes anything from horses to chickens and goats. And I have to say, I love your poster on the wall that says, "Goats welcome, people tolerated." And that's hilarious.
That's for the three-headed goat show on a Thursday night. Saskia, you would be about one of the few organisations, wouldn't you, that will take in horses and animals, you know, the bigger animals. There's a few people that take in cats and dogs, but although you say that you, I don't say specialise in them, that's what you look at, but you are one of the few organisations who will take the big animals, aren't you?
Yeah, we call ourselves an all-species rescue organisation, so a lot of rescues might just specialise in companion animals, which are otherwise known as dogs and cats. Some might just do horses, some might just do farm animals. So we try and help every species in need. The only animals we're currently not directly assisting is wildlife, but we've got some plans to enlarge on that down the track.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
I guess, well, first of all, how do you get the animals?
So we have a lot of existing relationships with various pounds and shelters all over Victoria and sometimes interstate as well. And a lot of them are country pounds and they don't often have a rehoming program. So any unclaimed strays, dogs or cats or farm animals that end up there and no one comes for them, often the only chance they have for survival is to be rescued by a group such as ours. So there's a lot of rescue groups across Victoria doing fantastic work and we work in with them as well. So we get what we call lists, email lists or Facebook alerts from staff at pounds and shelters or phone calls, and they say, okay, we've got, you know, a two-year-old boxer mix and his name's Calvin, and he's been surrendered because his family couldn't afford to feed him anymore, and can you take him on? So that's just one example of the approaches we get.
And I guess the alternative to that, and are you touched on it before, some of those animals will be put down, wouldn't they? Because, as I understand it, pounds only keep them so long.
So the only legal requirement for a pound or shelter to keep an unclaimed stray is 8 days.
Is that all?
8 days. And would you also believe that if you or I brought in an animal that we couldn't care for anymore and surrendered them directly, and it's a healthy, happy animal, there's nothing wrong with it behaviourally or medically, that pound or shelter can actually put that animal to sleep on the spot. There's no legal requirement for them to assist that animal in any way, shape or form. So that's a very little known fact in the community. I think it's fair to have an expectation if you know, take a dog or cat to a shelter that they'll do their best to help them.
But that
animal can be dead before you've left the car park. So that's one of the things we're hoping to change, you know, not just in the work we do, but in legislation as well.
Is that because the others that get them in where they've been dumped or whatever, they have to look, you know, at least keep them 8 days in case an owner comes forward, but
correct,
because the owner has handed them in, it could be lights out.
Correct. So the owner has already said, I don't want the animal, whereas if it comes in as a stray, the 8 days is abided by in most cases. There's some little loopholes in the legislation that are really distressing, however, that if a cat comes in and the cat seems feral or diseased, you, as the pound or shelter, you can legally put that animal to its death straight away. But what has happened in the past is that people have often then turned up to look for their cat, and it's been a fact that their cat hasn't been feral or diseased, but it's just appeared feral, because once you're suddenly in a cage, even the most well-adusted animal in a small cage as well can totally freak out. So there's a lot of really tragic mistakes that happen at pounds and shelters, as well as just abject, you know, failure in duty of care. It really depends on who's running the pound or shelter and how much they care about the animals.
Right, I've just got a quick break. I've got a few more questions that have come out of that.
Someday I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? Where women go and men wonder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. Six foot.
less conversation, a little more action, please. You're a Valley FM 99.1, baby.
I'm talking to Saskia from Forever Friends, and we know that's a rescue service for animals, and not only a rescue service, but also in a lot of ways rehoming. First of all, there's a couple of things that we should mention, I think, Saskia. The first thing is, apart from you looking after these animals down on your farm and or your place, you also have to go and collect a lot of these animals all over the state, don't you?
That's correct. Yeah, we work with a lot of country pounds particularly, so there's always volunteers needed to drive out and collect them and drive them to vet clinics for their medical work or new foster homes or their adoptive homes.
And I suppose you're always looking for people that would be... I guess you're always looking for people to work on the farm as well, but I guess you would be... extra happy to hear from some people who wouldn't mind taking the occasional trip into the country to pick up an animal.
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes even interstate. So, yeah, if anyone likes cruising and likes to give what we call a freedom ride to an animal in need, it's great fun, particularly dogs who I think they really get a sense of I've been broken out of the prison here at the pound, and they jump in the back seat and, you know, they get this big grin on their face and off you go. So I think people really enjoy that.
Well, and the other thing I should ask you, now we've just had Christmas and some people still seem to want to buy a pet and then particularly a kitten, and then as it gets to be a bit of a cat, they decide, oh, no, I don't want this. So do you find that sort of around now in the next couple of months you get an increase in particularly cats but maybe dogs as well?
Do you know what? I think we get the biggest increase before Christmas, and that's really depressing because a lot of people, I think, are planning their Christmas holidays and they don't want to pay for boarding of their pets or make arrangements for that. So we actually see quite a steep rise in the emails and phone calls of people wanting to surrender their animals before Christmas. There's still plenty all throughout the year, but yeah, after 13 years, we've definitely noticed an increase around that time of year, which is really sad.
Yeah. So really, they're happy to have the animal during the year, and then as soon as it starts to interrupt their lifestyle, then the animal's got to go.
Yep. And yeah, it's really disturbing stuff. But fortunately, the vast majority of people, you know, treat their animals well. But there's always a small number that make our work even more pressing.
Yeah. What would you say? What's the biggest animal you've ever had to go and pick up or been surrendered to you?
Oh, the biggest physically. Probably Bruiser and Oreo are two big male steers. So male cows are called steers. They'd be, they'd weigh over a ton each.
So did you have to pick them up?
I'm trying to remember. I think the woman who rescued them bought them in a hired cattle trailer. I think that's how they did it, but they've been with us about 6 years now, and they're firm favorites at the sanctuary. Super friendly, huge animals with these gigantic horns and these very slobbery tongues that love to you to feed them bread and Weet-Bix and everything. So they're probably the biggest animals we've got.
So why would animals like that be surrendered?
Well, this particular woman, Helen, she's a dear friend of mine. She rescued them from the abattoir when they were calves and their mothers had been killed. So she took them home and she raised them alongside her border collies in her house. So these calves...
Just at the house?
Yeah. These calves grew up thinking they were border collies, and they're black and white too. So, but she was only on an acre in Diamond Creek. So there came a time when they were just too big for that acre. So she asked if we'd take them on. So I was more than happy to help. We didn't have any cows at the time, and I like to have at least two of every species at the sanctuary.
All right. So in that case, would you then try to rehome an animal like that, or do you keep those animals just for the rest of their lives?
Depends on the animal. So perhaps about 50% of the animals at the sanctuary are probably up for adoption, and some of them are just there for medical reasons, or because they're elderly and they'd be hard for people to take on as adoptive animals. But I also like having at least two of every species. So there's two alpacas, for example, because it's great for people to be able to meet one or two of every animal that they normally wouldn't come across. So there's a lot of permanent animals as well, like Bruiser and Oreo.
So you talk about sanctuary. So is it open to the public, even if they don't want to adopt an animal, is it open for people to come and see them?
Just by appointment. Yeah, we're so busy, we do need people to make a time to come for a tour. We're going to start formalising tours soon and see if we can bring in some donations that way by showing people around. Mm. But we, if you do come up to the sanctuary to volunteer, that includes a tour. So at your induction, you get to meet all the slobbery, the animals big and small, and yeah.
All right. We should mention, probably at 5 to 1, we'll get Saskia to give you all the contact details, email address and all that. So have your paper and pencil ready and we'll tell you about it then. At the moment, we'll just take a quick break.
Your mind.
talking to Saskia from Forever Friends, which is an animal rescue, but also an adoption place where they like to place animals. And we should also mention too, which is something I wasn't actually going to mention this moment, but I guess you're always looking for foster carers too, that not necessarily somebody who wants to take a pet in, but is happy to take one while you go about trying to find a forever home for them.
Oh, absolutely. We're always desperate for foster carers, and that's for cats, dogs, pocket pets, rabbits and guinea pigs, that sort of thing. But fostering can be a great option for people who don't want to commit to the 15-year, you know, lifespan of a dog or a cat, or, you know, might want to travel soon, so they still, you know, want to have a pet in their lives, but just can't, you know, commit to it long term. So we had a dog picked up yesterday by a retired couple in Warburton, and they want to travel mid-year, so, but their dog passed away recently, so they've got one of ours to look after, you know, for a few months.
Oh, terrific.
So, yeah.
Now, these animals, I guess they're not all, some of them have just been turned out because people can't afford them or don't want them anymore, but I guess quite a few of them have got medical problems, and maybe the people can't afford to do what needs to be done. So tell us a bit about the vet system, because I know you've got something new set up.
Yeah, that's right. I'm so excited to say that we now have our own internal vet clinic on site at the sanctuary at Gladysdale. So with the help of a state government grant last year, we were able to set up in the Cattery building a whole surgical theatre. So we've done that in conjunction with a great other registered charity called Vets for Compassion. And Vets for Compassion was founded by Dr. Elaine Om, who used to work at Borwin Vet. And it's a group of volunteer vets and volunteer vet nurses. And as if they don't already work long enough hours, they volunteer to come and help out at our clinic for free a few days a month. So,
well, that would save the organisation money too, wouldn't it? Because, you know, you've got to try and save dollars where you can.
Yeah, so we've got 500 or 600 animals in care all across Victoria, so our monthly vet bills can reach $40,000-$50,000, which is just unbelievable. So establishing our own clinic was absolutely crucial, and we couldn't have done it without Vets for Compassion, and they do a lot of wildlife rescue as well, and they're just another fantastic organisation to look up.
Oh, that's terrific, isn't it? And I guess there's another thing that I just want to mention. We're talking about these animals, getting them back to health. So how does somebody, if they're listening today, decides on my dog or my cat's passed away or I need a loving companion, how do they go about adopting from Forever Friends?
Well, if you're online, I love people to jump onto the website foreverfriends.org.au, and you can look up all the animals who are available, dogs, cats, rabbits, horses, and you just send us an online inquiry and we get in touch with you, and process from there is we set up a meet and greet, a physical meet and greet with that animal, either at the sanctuary or at the foster home, and you never have to make a decision on the day. You just spend some time with that animal and find out all the things you need to know, and then the next day,
good,
bad and the ugly, full transparency, absolutely full transparency, and then the next day we ask you to get back in touch with us and let us know your thoughts, and if you want to proceed with an adoption, we offer a month's trial. So during that month we'll give you a full refund if it doesn't work out, and we also offer you free behavioural guidance and support for that entire month and for the rest of that pet's lifetime too. We're always there for you.
Oh, that's terrific. We'll just take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present and emerging.
Florida Keys. of Kokomo. That's where you wanna go to get away from it all. Bodies in the sand.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and just a quick reminder, after 1 o'clock news, I've got P.I. Peter coming in, talking to us, so we'll be hearing what's been going on with Peter. I guess an organisation like this, whether we like it or not, is going to cost money to run. You might own the property, but at the end of the day, there's all sorts of costs, and if you're talking about feeding horses and cows, like, they can be pretty expensive to feed. So I guess, are you looking for donations in the way of dollars? But if somebody says, well, I really can't afford to keep giving you dollars, are you looking for donations for such things as pet food and all that?
Yeah, we're always desperate for money donations, of course, like every charity really struggles. I think one of the things I do like to say to anyone that is considering a donation, whether it's big or small, is that because we're volunteer run, you have complete assurance that your money goes directly to who you want it to help, and that's the animals. It's not going to company cars or posh offices or anything. And we do have a lot of different funding opportunities on the website. You can look at business sponsorship if you want to explore that. Yeah. So if you're a local business, you could consider sponsoring a dog or cat enclosure and have your name on that for the next year. And that helps fund the care of the animal who is in that enclosure. And we also have a Rescue Ready sponsorship program, which a lot of individuals love. And it's just a one-off donation of $150. And that goes towards helping us actually save a life from the pounds or shelters. So that's another really popular program. It's a bit like having a sponsor child from World Vision. You get sent the profile of the animal you've helped rescue. So that's a really popular program as well. And in terms of goods and so on, we have enough bedding at the moment, but we never have enough things like dog treats, dog chews, dog leads. And we're always needing more cat and kitten wet food. We get quite a lot of donations of dry food, but, yeah, wet food for cats and kittens is often high on the list.
Well, because I guess anything like that is going to help defray the costs of running the organisation, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
And you were saying, like, the vet bills per year are just horrendous, aren't they?
They are, and we do have a lot of vets that support our work by giving us discounts, and we're really grateful for those. But, yeah, if you're rescuing 1,200-plus animals a year, which we do, yep, it inevitably adds up.
And I guess a lot of these animals would have to be taken to a vet when you first got them, because, I mean, you don't want to rehome something and find out that there's something majorly wrong with it, do you?
Of course not, yes. Yeah, so they all have to be vet-checked, de-sexed, vaccinated, microchipped, and some of the animals come in an abject state of neglect. We had a beautiful lab mix come in called Kimmy, who we discovered had been hit by a car years ago, and her front leg had been broken and never properly treated, so she was hauling this leg around with her that was basically unusable. So, you know, animals like that need urgent attention. And she actually needed an amputation in the end, but she's a very happy tripod now, living the life with her adopters down in Geelong.
Well, she probably, for once in her life, probably out of pain and all sorts of things.
Yeah, that leg was just getting in the way and scraping along the ground and bleeding. And, yeah, it was pretty horrific.
Yeah. And do you often get animals that have been handed in just because the person says, no, this is going to cost me money, I'm not going to spend the money, I'll hand it in and hand it to you?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the cases I couldn't believe, I think, was a year or so ago. It was a little chihuahua puppy, might have only been 4 or 5 months old, and the woman had paid $6,000 for this puppy, and it was taken, she took the puppy to the vet, thought it had a broken leg and it needed surgery, and she left it there.
Just never went back?
Just said, no, I don't want to pay for it, and left the puppy, and one of my volunteers picked it up and adopted this dear little thing. And the irony of this story is, in the end, it turned out she didn't need surgery on the leg. She was fine after some general other healing. So
the person lost their $6,000. Mm-hmm. In some cases, you could say, well, it serves them right, can't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think in that case it did. She was the dearest little thing.
All right, we'll take another quick break. We're back with more. welcome back to Community Connections, and I'm talking to Saskia from Forever Friends. Saskia, we've talked a lot about the different things that you do, and I think it's terrific that you do it. And we should mention you don't get government grants year on, year off, do you?
No, we get no ongoing government funding. We do apply for grants, and it's absolutely delightful when we can get that support. But no, there's no government or council funding at all.
So it's all funded through donations and I guess adoption fees. People would pay something to adopt the animals.
That's right. The adoption fees help offset the medical costs, but never actually exceed that. So we rely on the community, absolutely.
Well, I guess let's tell people how they can, first of all, donate. Secondly, they can talk to you about how they can adopt one of these animals.
Yeah, well, our website is www.foreverfriends, that's one word, foreverfriends.org.au. We're also on Facebook under Forever Friends Animal Rescue and Instagram.
Do you want to give those again to us, please?
Foreverfriends.org.au is the website, and we're also on Facebook at Forever Friends Animal Rescue and Instagram.
And I guess, again, that you are keen on getting, no doubt, no matter how many volunteers you've got on site, you don't have enough. And I guess the other thing is too that you are still looking for people who can go around and pick these animals up and transport them. I guess some of them could be transported by car. You don't need to tow a trailer and all that for some of them, for a cat or a dog, do you?
Absolutely, yeah. A little hatchback will do just fine for some kittens. And, yeah, we welcome everyone that wants to volunteer. There's a volunteer sign-up form on the website, and you can fill out and just tick the boxes on what you would like to do or not like to do. Yeah, it's all up to you.
Can't ask for better than that, can you? Saskia, what's the most unusual animal that you've had surrendered?
A huntsman spider.
Boy, did someone donate that? Or someone give you that? I thought they would have done something else to it, to be honest.
Well, the particular woman didn't want to hurt the spider, but she didn't want the spider living in her house. She wasn't keen on spiders. So the spider was collected in a Chinese container by one of our wonderful volunteers. And as Mari was driving home with the spider to relocate the spider at her house, she was actually pulled over by the police and told that she was driving an unregistered vehicle, and she'd just forgotten to renew her rego. So the policeman made her get out of the car and sit by the road with her huntsman spider in the Chinese container till her husband could pick her up.
Well, yeah, so apart from that, what else would you have, like something else is unusual also?
Some goldfish, yeah. Some people wanted to renovate their yard, and there was no room for the pond anymore, so we collected the goldfish. We recently had a ferret, bearded dragon, so it's amazing.
So the likes of the goldfish and that, did you rehome them or did you just keep them?
I actually took them home to my mum and put them in her pond.
Oh, so you had a pond, didn't
you? Yeah. So she gratefully received the goldfish.
So I guess you probably haven't got many animals of your own, have you? I mean, you're around animals all day. Do you have any of your own pets?
Oh, we sure do. Yeah, we've got 5 dogs of our own. We absolutely adore them. And we make room in the house for some other foster dogs too. So, yeah, it's always chaos, but it's a very rewarding life as well.
And I guess the other thing too that we should mention, for particularly you and your husband, this is not just a 9-to-5 job, is it? I mean, you live on the property and these animals need to be fed and looked after day and night, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a good 14-hour day on the farm, and then we fall into bed often with the laptop, and I'm still emailing late at night trying to catch up with that as well. So, yeah, it's a non-stop life, as anyone else on the land knows. You cannot easily get away, so it's quite a big commitment.
Yeah. So, and how long have you been doing it?
I founded the charity 13 years ago, but we moved to Macclesfield and the hills about gosh, 11 years ago. So, yeah, proper country people now and just love living up here. Yeah.
Well, I guess you were never going to be able to keep doing much down at Hawthorne.
Exactly. In my little unit, yeah. My sister lived behind me at the time and she told me it was time to head to the country. She didn't want to live next door to all my chaos anymore.
Did you have a few of the animals at the little flat, did you?
I was fostering quite a few little dogs at that time, yeah. So it was a little bit noisy to be my neighbour. But she did the right thing. I'm much happier living out here. And ironically, she's joined us now and she's living with us and helping on the farm too. Yeah.
I guess the other thing is too, like you'd have been very limited. It would have only been kittens and dogs that you could do there. You couldn't do anything about having...
And stash like a pig in the backyard. There, yeah, no, there was only so much you could do with domestic animals. So, yeah, by coming out here, we now have the space to help others.
So it's foreverfriends.org.au?
Correct.
And they can look up there, they can find out how to become a volunteer. Be a great way for people to maybe retirees during the week to if you don't want to go pick up animals, just to go out and help around the place.
We love retirees. Mostly because you guys tend to commit and you don't, come for training and then disappear. We love retirees and you can do anything, everything from cuddling kittens to walking dogs and all of that.
Have to go. Thanks for coming in, Saskia, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
No worries. Thank you.